So if you have your Bible, turn to Matthew chapter 13. I thought Grady was going to preach about half this sermon by accident up here today. I should have just let you keep going, just gave you the time. That would have been fine. But Matthew chapter 13, this is the first parable Jesus ever told. And if you remember, He began to speak in parables in judgment, because the Jewish nation would not receive the clear teaching of the Word. They had rejected it. And so Jesus did something that really frustrated His disciples. He started telling stories. And you'll see them in this text today sort of pull Him aside and say, "What are you doing? You know, you've got their attention now." And Jesus will tell them, "No, I have their attention, but they do not have the spiritual faculties to receive what I'm teaching." And so He began to teach the Jews, not plainly, but in parables. And so this is how He started. Matthew 13, verse 1. "On the same day, Jesus went out of the house, and He sat by the sea, and great multitudes were gathered together to Him. And He got into a boat and sat. The whole multitude stood on the shore. And then He spoke many things to them in parables, saying, 'Behold, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds came and devoured them, and some fell on stony places, where they did not have much earth, and they immediately sprang up, because they had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them out. But others fell on good ground, and yielded a crop, 100-fold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears to hear, let him hear." So that's Jesus' first parable. He's got a crowd so large, He has to get into a boat and go offshore and teach. The disciples pull Him aside. If you can envision this here, verse 10. The disciples came and said to Him, "What are you doing?" I mean, that's basically the interpretation. Literally, that's what that means. What are you doing, you know? "Why do you speak to them in parables?" And He answered and He said to them, "Because it has been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. For whoever has, to him more will be given, and he will have an abundance. But he who does not have, even what he has, will be taken away from him. Therefore I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. And in them the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled, when he says, 'Hearing you will hear, and you shall not understand, and seeing you will see, but you will not perceive. For the hearts of this people have grown dull. Their ears are hard of hearing, their eyes are closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn, so I would heal them. But blessed are you, for your eyes they see, and your ears, for they hear. For assuredly I say to you that many prophets and righteous men desired to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear, but they did not hear it." And then Jesus does something very unusual. He explains the parable that He's just taught. Right? He does not do this. This is, I think, for their benefit. The first parable they'd heard, their confusion was there. Jesus had said this is a fulfillment of Old Testament prophecy, a fulfillment of judgment upon their unbelief. Therefore, I'll speak to them in parables. But then He explains the parable. Verse 18. He says, "Therefore, hear the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is he who received the seed by the wayside. But he who received the seed on stony places is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures only for a little while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he stumbles. And now he who received the seed among the thorns is the one who hears the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke out the word, and he becomes unfruitful. But he who received the seed on good ground is he who hears the word and understands it, and indeed bears fruit and produces some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. May the Lord bless the reading and the hearing of His word. Jesus said that when the word of God is preached, He called it here the word of the kingdom. When the word of God is preached, there's essentially four kinds of people in this room right now. This would be true if this room held a million people. There's four kinds of people here. right? And so as the word is going forward, it is here likened to a seed being planted in the ground. So what I'm doing right now is I am sowing the seed of the word of the kingdom in hearts just by proclaiming it. That's what's happening here. But what's invisible to my eyes and to yours is that there's four kinds of capacities here to receive this word. The first one, Jesus said, is a hard heart. There's a kind of person who hears the word as if it was a seed being planted on trampled down soil. This is how Jesus described it in verse 4. He said, he who sowed some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds came and devoured it. And he doesn't leave us to guess at what he meant, because in verse 19 he says, the one who hears the word of the kingdom but does not understand it, the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is he who received the seed by the wayside. So the first kind of hearer that Jesus anticipates hearing the message is one who has no spiritual faculties to understand what's being proclaimed. Jesus says plainly here, he does not understand it. The word lands on him as if he is cement, as if his heart is rock solid. He hears the word, he hears the same word that everyone else hears preached, and it makes absolutely not a dent in his life. He doesn't understand it, he doesn't want to understand it, and if he did want to understand it, God would have to give him the spiritual faculties to hear it. This is what Jesus meant when he said, hey, if you have ears to hear, then you're able to hear it. Jesus finished most of his parables with that phrase, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. Because Jesus knew that this first kind of person existed. He knew that they came to hear sermons. He knew that they had Bibles. He knew that they might even at times take a passing interest in saying, you know, I really should learn more about the Bible. I should get interested in this. But they don't have ears to hear. And so a preacher standing up preaching is just declaring the word before a deaf man. They simply do not want to understand it, nor can they. And so Jesus warns us to not become this hard-hearted, wayside soil, the path the farmer walked as he was spreading the seed on the good soil, and he trampled it down, and all the people walked on it. And you say, well, how does a person get that way? Well, number one, we're born that way, right? We're dead in trespasses and sin. The scary thing is, you don't have to do anything to get this way. You are this way apart from the grace of God. Apart from the grace of God, you have no interest or ability to process the word in any saving way. You can understand logically that the syntax of it, the flow of it, the sentences, right? Because you can read, but you can't process the spiritual intent behind it. It doesn't say anything to you. And the scarier part is the more that we hear the word preached, the more exposure we get to the word, and we don't respond in obedience, it hardens our hearts. See, this is the amazing thing about Scripture. As the word goes forward now, some of you will become convicted, right? It'll break up the hard ground. It'll speak to you. To another person, it'll do nothing but serve to harden their heart even more. The same seed going forward can have two completely different results apart from the work of the Holy Spirit in a person's heart. And so Scripture warns us to break up our fallow ground, to not allow our hearts to remain hardened to what God has said, right? He says, today is a day of salvation. If you hear the word, believe it. Respond to it. Why? Because this is the only time you have to do that. You're not guaranteed tomorrow. You're not guaranteed another sermon. You're not guaranteed, a bunch of Sundays in the future. If you hear the word today and it pricks your heart, that is a supernatural process where God is overcoming the hardness of heart and allowing that seed to be planted in you, and his intentions towards you are good. They are good. And so he says, Watch out for hard hearts. So if I stand and preach in any place, there's going to be four kinds of people there. One of them is going to be the hard-hearted person, the person who looks like they're listening, but they are not hearing. The word is not doing anything to benefit them. In fact, it is only increasing the hardness of their heart and the judgment one day that they will experience for having received exposure to the word and done nothing with it. But Jesus says there's a second kind of person who hears the word. He says in verse 5 and 6, he says, some of the seed fell on stony places. So now you have the stony heart. You have the trampled down heart first. Now you've got the soil that has so many stones in it. He says in verse 5, where it did not have much earth. So not much soil there. A lot of rocks. And they immediately sprang up because they had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, they were scorched. And because they had no root, they withered away. He explains this in verses 20 and 21, the same chapter. He says, he who received the seed on stony places is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. And yet he has no root in himself, but he endures only for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he stumbles. Now what you notice about this second soil is the response is not nearly as obvious as the first kind. That was just rock solid. The word could not penetrate the heart. And so they left without understanding, without ears to hear. This one is much more confusing for us because everything happens quickly. The word gets preached, so the seed gets planted. And on the surface, kids, it looks like it's good soil. It looks like this is the place you could get a harvest. So the seed goes into the soil, but it says there's not much soil and there's stones up underneath. The land hadn't been properly prepared, cultivated. And then something amazing happens. The person responds quickly and joyfully, right? The person responds quickly and joyfully. There's emotion involved. It's heartfelt. The Bible says they receive it with joy, and they do so in verse 20 immediately. Now, look, this looks like your prime candidate for an evangelistic testimony, right? They receive the word immediately. They don't resist it. And they receive it with sincerity, with joy, and it's quick. And then Jesus says this. He says, yet he has no root in himself. But he endures only for a while. For when tribulation or persecution come because of the word, immediately he stumbles. So just as quickly as someone came to Christ, apparently, as they came to believe, just as quickly, what happens? Jesus said, they fall away. Right? They fall away. Now, if you say, well, were they saved and lost their salvation? No. Faith is God's gift, and God doesn't give defective gifts. Right? If God grants you faith, he grants you the kind of faith that lasts your whole life. God does not give defective gifts. Faith is his gift. He gives it to those who truly believe. But Scripture warns us again and again that there is a temporary kind of faith. There's a kind of person who, for whatever reason, responds so enthusiastically but thoughtlessly. They haven't counted the cost. And do we not know that following Jesus comes at a cost in this world? I mean, we talk about the blessings. Of course we do. And they far outweigh the crosses that we bear. But to follow Jesus is to give up your life. To ask him to be the Lord of your life. And apart from the work of the Holy Spirit, you would never do that. You might say, well, I want to go to heaven when I die, and therefore I receive the word, right? But nobody says, apart from the grace of God, you know, I really want Jesus to be the Lord of my life. I want to live my life in obedience to what Jesus said. I want the word of God to dictate everything that I do, and that I'll stand in judgment before this word. That what would declare me right or wrong will be this word. People don't talk like that because that's a difficult life. That's a hard way to go. They say, I want to go to heaven. So they receive the word with joy. Oh, forgiveness of sin, a new start. But they haven't counted the cost of hearing the word. In other words, the soil still, though it is more prepared in this case, it is still not fully prepared for the word of God to act in any saving way. And Scripture warns us again and again about temporary faith, about short-lived faith. That is not the faith that God gives. That's not the work of His Spirit. It is the work of the power of the Word, no doubt, to affect someone only to see them just as quickly fall away when the pursuit of their discipleship costs them something. Immediately they receive it, immediately they stumble. Third kind of person, Jesus says in verse 7, He says, some fell among thorns. Some of the seed fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up, and they choked them. He interprets this for us in verse 22 when he says, now he who receives seed among the thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. Now, I would tell you that in all sincerity, that this is one of the most frightening and convicting verses for me in the Bible because of just how I'm wired in my head to get so preoccupied, right, with concerns, with responsibilities, with obligations. Jesus said there's a kind of person, so, and I know me, I have to be very aware of this, I have to pray against this, that I can hear the word, I can even preach the word, right? It's easier to preach it than it is to actually obey it, right? Y'all know that. This is the easy part of the job, by the way, if y'all didn't know that. So, Jesus tells us, though, that in this world, you know, remember he tells us, John 14, in this world you shall have trouble, you shall have tribulation, right? And then he just blesses us. He gives us a wife or a husband. He gives us children. He gives us all these good things. And all these good things bring about all these obligations, right? The blessings of God bring about really important tasks that have to be done. And things have to be set in order, right? So it's not like God's punishing you. The more He blesses you, the more responsibility you have. You ever notice that? And the reason for that is because His goal for you is not your comfort, it's your maturity. It's your maturity. So He just gives you more and He blesses you. And with those blessings come what? More responsibility. More unanswered questions. More obligations. You know? More stress. And you can find yourself in such a state that the Word of God is being spoken to you, that you're reading it, that you're hearing it, but what has overwhelmed your heart are these responsibilities, these unanswered questions. Jesus called them the cares of this world. They're not sinful. They're not wrong. But they are dangerous. Right? They're dangerous. It's okay, how am I going to take care of this tomorrow? How is this going to get fixed? I hope he's doing okay. I forgot to do that. You know, that kind of thing. To the point, and listen, some of you, and I know because I'm like this, and I tell you up front, that's the danger one for me. Not the first one, not the second one. This is the danger one. Right? And sometimes when you find yourself in that place with a lot of obligations and a lot of responsibilities and you feel that your resources are lacking and you're just not up to the task, what can happen here, I really believe according to Jesus, when he's talking, you can think, you know what, if I just had a bunch of money, that'd fix everything. Right? You see how those two are connected? That the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches go hand in hand. So you've got all these responsibilities. You've got all these obligations. You've got people that God has blessed you with, and now you're charged to take care of them. And you think, you know what? If I were just rich, I could handle this. Right? Doesn't that make sense? How those two things just sort of, you know? And you just start thinking that if I had more money, that would just solve all of this. And your mind can become so consumed with those kind of thoughts that you are not able to hear the word in any profitable way. Now, is that not frightening? Now, I realize the person he's talking about here is not a Christian. This soil, it's not good soil. It doesn't produce a good harvest. But I'm saying even to Christians, we can go through seasons where the word of God is not profitable to us because we are overwhelmed with the anxieties and the fears that come with trying to live life in a very uncertain world with many people dependent upon us, and we start asking ourselves all kinds of questions, and how am I going to do this, and when is this going to get done? And yet the Scripture would counsel us, be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God. To trust Him as not only the God who saves us, but the Father who loves us and cares for us. So Jesus said, there's a way of living, even under His blessings, I believe, that can become incredibly dangerous and unhelpful to our spiritual lives. Listen, if I were to ask you today, if I didn't know this verse, and you were to ask me, you would say, Shane, what do you think, like Jesus said, talked about choking out spiritual life. What do you think would choke out someone's spiritual life? Wouldn't you want to start naming really bad sins, right? You know, adultery, pornography, right? Wouldn't you want drug addiction? Wouldn't you want to say, man, those are the things that will get you? Jesus taught us in His very first parable that the thing that will get you is the day-to-day concerns that can flood in on you and make you unable to hear His word. It's terribly frightening, terribly convicting. And so, church, we have to pray and encourage one another against that very thing. Last kind of person who hears the word of God is the one in verse 8 that fell on good ground and yielded a crop, some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. Jesus explained that in verse 23 when He says, but he who received the seed on good ground is he who hears the word and he understands it. And indeed he bears fruit, some producing 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. So one of the first signs that God is at work in our life is not only that He brings us to hear the word. Now don't skip that though. Look, I know y'all get tired of me. So look where you are right now, right? Just process what's happening. God has brought you to hear His word. What an amazing blessing that we take for granted. All the places you could be, all the things you could be doing, He brought you into this building to hear His word proclaimed, to be warned by it, to be encouraged by it, to be strengthened by it, and by His grace to be saved by it. But there's a further sign that He's at work when you understand it. When you understand what's being said. That's a sign the Spirit of God is at work in your heart. And that understanding leads to fruit bearing. Right? It leads to salvation. It leads to repentance. It leads to faith. It doesn't lead in the same way in everybody's life. He says some people will bear 100-fold. The work of the Spirit will be so evident in them, it is just indisputable. Some 60, some 30, right? Not everybody produces the same crops. Not everybody produces the same fruit. But when the Spirit of God is at work, there's always discernible fruit. And the first discernible fruit Jesus mentions here is understanding the Word. What if God were to remove that faculty from us that allows us to understand His Word? To discern His will through His Word. You know, most of us have been saved so long and we've had that so long that we take it very much for granted. What if God were to hide His will from us? What if He were to blind us and remove our ability to hear? And we go through this life with a Bible on our lap, hearing the Word preached, but no fruit bearing. It would be the greatest judgment that God could put upon someone just to let them go their own way with no spiritual faculties to discern where they're headed. Jesus says, hear. Very interesting. He says, look, it's the same sower. You hear right? Same farmer sowing the seed. It's the same seed. You know the only difference? Is one of the soils was prepared, the other wasn't. And I know that you look at your life and you look at all the things that are going on in your life and you look at the difficulties that are there. But what if in all of that, God is just preparing you to hear His Word and to receive it and to bear fruit? What if everything that's been going on in your recent past, or really your whole life, but just the things you can remember, have brought you to this moment to give you ears to hear? All the sorrows, all the struggles, right? What if all of it was leading up to right now where the Lord said, I've been plowing the ground so that you would hear in a way you've never heard before? Would that not be the mercy of God? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word, and we thank you for how it goes forward. We ask, Lord, in the name of Jesus, that today, that the one who's here and never truly heard would be given ears to hear. That would be given the ability to understand and to say, oh, I see it now. I see it. Lord, may your Spirit come and do that. It is beyond any human effort, any preacher's ability, any hearer's ability. But it's not beyond yours, Father. So we ask you now to come and attest to the truth and the validity of your word, and that we may rejoice in it in Jesus' name. Amen.